had a rough year this last year because of health or different other things. We've had some rough years, right? Some warfare even in our government in those things this last year. But unless the Lord takes you tonight, most of us in this room will make it to tomorrow of 2024. And we made it to that place there. But what I like to do every year is to examine my life as I start the new year. And I want to take that time this morning as we're going to look at Psalms 51, verses 10 to 13. I want us to look at this thought, time of renewal. A time of renewal. You see, as we start this new year, it's a time of personal reflection. It's a time of planning. It's a time of resolve. Personal inventory. Anticipation. Apprehensions. Commitment. It's a time of making sure that you and I are aware and doing what we need to be doing as believers. It's a time of renewal. Over the course of our lives, much takes place. And as we go our way, we realize if we don't keep an accurate looking at ourselves, there's things that aren't as good as they ought to be. And there are some things that ought to change that we don't even realize need changing in our lives. If I would go a whole year and never look in a mirror, I would look like Brother Rex. I would miss some things, and I would not realize some issues that I may have with myself. How many of you have ever walked out of the house and you realized you had toilet paper or something else stuck to the bottom of your shoe? How many ever realized before that one of your pant leg is pulled way up and the other one is way down? How many of you left and you've done that because you never took the time to look, to examine, to see? There's a word in the book of Psalms that means to stop, look, and listen. Do you know we need to stop, look, and listen this morning? As we start this new year, we need to start this new year off right. And it's not just making a resolution. How many have been around people that make resolutions? There are certain religions that make resolutions and they do certain things and they even light candles and they do this. And you ever hear anyone that made some of those resolutions? I'm going to quit smoking and they never smoked a cigarette the day in their life. I'm going to lose weight and they're this skinny. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. No, the purpose of this is not to make an empty resolution. It's to re-look at ourselves and say, this is what God expects of me. This is where I ought to be, but this is truly where I'm at. And Lord, forgive me because this is where I'm at, but Lord, give me the strength to get me where you want me to be in my life. We need to start this new year off right. We have been in a state in many people's minds and lives where we're coasting by in our Christianity. We can blame COVID. We can blame other things. We can blame politics. We can blame all this other. But the bottom line is, we need a time of renewal in our lives. If you're able to, please stand with me as we read from Psalms chapter 51, verse 10 through 13 this morning. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you would allow your word to penetrate our hearts this morning. That you would speak to us this morning. And Lord, help each of us to make a promise as you speak to us. We would respond in that way that would please you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. It's a time of renewal. Having a right spirit. I want us to first look at the renewal that is needed. What type of renewal is needed? That first renewal is needed. It says, create me a clean heart. What is that first renewal that is needed? What is that? What needs to take place? It says, create in me. That word create is the same word that's used in the beginning. God created the heavens and the earth. That means out of nothing. That means completely different. It says, create me a clean heart. It means God takes our old, filthy, dirty heart and gives us a new heart. It's a heart transplant. It's change. It's a new heart that he gives. He creates in us a new heart. How do we get a new heart? That first renewal has to do in regards to salvation. It has to do with salvation. It starts with salvation. You see, we're sinners in need of a Savior. We had a dirty heart. Our heart is desperately wicked. Who should know it? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. It starts with creating a new heart in regards to salvation. Do you know you cannot live for God this next year if you don't know God as your personal Savior? Now, we understand David had a relationship. We're going to talk about that with God. We understand some of the things David was involved in. And he says, God created a new heart. God, cleanse me. God, give me that right heart for you. But it starts with salvation. There's a lot of religious people today that don't have a new heart, a clean heart. Because they're trusting a religion to save them. Religion is not going to save anybody this morning. Doing religious traditions is not going to save anybody this morning. Coming to a church like this is not going to save you just because you come to this church. Just because you prayed a prayer sometime in your life doesn't mean that you have a new heart. There's people that have joined clubs, joined programs, joined certain things, but have never truly put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what saves you. That's what gives you the new heart. It says, create in me a clean heart. It starts with salvation. It starts with repenting of your sins and by faith turning to the Lord Jesus Christ and trusting him and him alone for salvation. Do you know, just because you've been raised in a Christian home doesn't mean you're saved. Just because you've read the Bible doesn't mean you're saved. Just because you've done those things does not mean you have this new heart. It starts with salvation. But second, this renewal talks about not just in regards to salvation. It talks about in regards to sanctification. That God creates a new heart in us. We become new in Christ Jesus. What is this sanctification? Turn with me. We're going to come back to Psalms, so keep your place there. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And look with me in verse 22. It says, that ye put off concerning the former conversations, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for he remembers one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. True renewal is in the likeness of God, righteousness and holy, according to verse 24. And that ye put on the new man, which is after God, is created in righteous and true holiness. You see, this created a new heart. Renew a right spirit in me. It means you take God and give me this clean heart. You change this heart. You give me this heart transplant. But Lord, you create that spirit that has a desire to live for you. Renew that spirit in me that lines up with you. And what's that spirit that lines up with you? You put off the old man and you put on the new man. You seek after God and truth and righteousness. You see, this renewal takes place when we look and we see that who we're supposed to seek after, who we're supposed to follow after. It's that truth and righteousness after God. This new year, I want to ask a question this morning. David says, Lord, create me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit in me. What is that right spirit? It means that I want to follow truth and righteousness this morning. Because I want to seek after God. I believe many believers. I'm glad you're saved. I'm glad you got a new heart. I'm glad those things. But I believe many believers are not seeking after truth and righteousness this morning. I believe we have gotten to a place, and we're going to see why this has happened in a little bit, but I believe we've gotten to the place where we're no longer sold out to follow God in our lives and after His truth and His righteousness, after His things. We see it today. I want us to look and I want us to examine, I want us to see, are you and I truly seeking after truth and righteousness? What is truth? The truth is the Word of God. What does it mean to seek after truth? It means that this is truly what we live out in our lives. And I believe many people who claim to be a believer are not following after the truth of the Word of God this morning. Oh, we say this is the sole authority of faith and practice. We say we love this book. We say this is the most important book in our lives. But look around us this morning. Because we will see, and look within ourselves, we will see that we're not seeking after the truth of the Word of God anymore. Because if I were seeking after the truth of the Word of God this morning, it would truly change the way that we're living. It would change the way that we approach church. It would change the way we approach the Word of God. It would change how we approach messages. It would change how we approach every aspect of our lives. It would change how we speak. It would change how we act if we truly seek after truth, the Word of God. And it says truth and righteousness. What is righteousness? Right living. Do you know many believers are doing that which is right in their own sight, not in the sight of God this morning? I believe many today, oh, that was in the Old Testament, preacher. That was the wicked children of Israel. They knew better, and they did what they wanted to do, even though they knew they should have done what God wants to do. Do you know what's happening today? We're doing what we want to do instead of what God wants us to do. I tell you, look around. Look within. See, look, people has put this label of Christian on them, this label of being a believer, and maybe they're saved. Praise God, they're saved. I trust that they truly are saved. But let me tell you, you can be saved and not living for God. And many people are not right living this morning. What is right living? Right living is that I am following the steps of Jesus and with his power and his strength, trying to imitate them as much as I can in my life. That's right living. So if that's right living, well, let's look at my life for this past week. Can I truthfully say that I strive? No, none of us are going to be perfect. Can I truthfully say that I have strive to walk the steps of Jesus with his power, his strength, to fulfill us right living? What is right living? That means what comes out of this mouth glorifies God. To God be the glory, we're just saying. It's to glorify God with this mouth. It's not just talking about not using cuss words. It's not just talking about not using God's name in vain. It's not just talking about doing those things, but it means what is coming out of his mouth points people to the Lord Jesus Christ. It means that my right living, my speech, is what God would have it to be. It shows love. It shows compassion. It is to help people, not to hinder people. What is right living? Right living means that I am doing everything in my life as much as I can to follow the truth of the Word of God. Not only do we see that, we also see we're to speak the truth. But look at verse 26. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. If I have a right spirit in me, I'm not going to allow my emotions to lead to sin. Did you get that? It's a time of renewal because we have a clean heart in Christ. We have this clean heart, but we've made it dirty, and we ask God to renew us. We need that right spirit. We need that renewal. Because we're not living the way we ought to be living in our life. And how do we have that right spirit? We need to speak truth, but we need not to allow our emotions to lead us to sin. Be angry and sin not. We can have a righteous anger, but let me tell you, many times we call something righteous anger and it's not, by the way. What does this mean? It means this year, I gotta have love coming out of my heart, not anger out of my heart. Here's what's happened. Now, do I like the sin that's happened in this world? No. But what is the wrong type of anger I have? I wish this person would die. That's the wrong anger. Because I could be angry. I might not like that person. I might not want that person in office. I might not want what they're doing. But what does it mean to have a right spirit? I'm on my knees praying for that person. Praying that somehow, some way, that someone would take the gospel to that person. And that the word of God would pierce their heart and save that individual. That's the right spirit. That's the spirit I have to have. But let me tell you, that's not the spirit many people have today. Let me tell you, there's people in the church that have done wrong to people before. Did you know that? There's times that people in this church are going to disappoint you. Your pastor never will disappoint you, but everyone else will. Just kidding. There's going to be times. It is. But angry is this. I can't believe that person did that to me. I'm out of here. See you later. This is, and we start bag-mouthing, and we start talking, we start doing this and that. That's not the spirit we're to have. We have the spirit of not allowing our emotions to lead us to sin. Look at verse 27. neither give place to the devil. You see, it's a time renewal because we've given place to the devil in our lives. How do you and I give place to the devil this morning? We allow the devil to enter our minds and put the wrong thoughts in our minds. I believe many people have allowed the devil into their minds and give you the wrong thought towards another believer. Not just anger, but we become bitter, and that's addressed later. We have that, and we allow the devil to put those wrong thoughts in our mind. You ever thought wrongly about someone? Oh, that's just in my mind. It doesn't affect anything. What does the Bible say? As a man thinketh, so is he. What does the Bible say? We can commit what? Lust in our minds. We commit adultery in our minds. We can commit murder in our minds. We can commit a lot in our minds without ever acting upon it. And giving place to the devils, we allow those thoughts. We have allowed those things to enter our minds. You see, right living means I don't allow those things to enter my mind. That means my mind is affixed on Jesus Christ and the things that he wants to fill my minds with. You know what we've done? We've filled our minds with a lot of stuff that's not godly. And it's given place to the devil. We have filled our minds with the filth of this world. That's given place to the devil. We have filled our minds with the conversation of this world. That has given place to the devil. We have filled our minds with the entertainment of this world and the things of this world. We can go on and hit those. That is giving place to the devil this morning. Look at verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more. You know, we need renewal when we're not honest and doing things honestly. Well, preacher, we're believers. And none of us in this room have ever stole before. Well, some of you, when you were little, you stole the candy bar. But do you know what this idea is? This is the idea of right living means that I am honest and doing things God's way, not what I want to do the way I want to do it. What does it mean to steal no more? It means I stop doing what is wrong and start doing what is right. The idea is this. I have done things dishonestly, and because I've done things dishonestly, it is not pleasing to God. It's a time of renewal. It's a time of renewal because I have a corrupt communication, verse 29. It's a time of renewal, look at verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Because I've grieved the Holy Spirit of God by not living right. I made God displeased with me. It's a time of renewal when I've made God displeased with the way I'm living. I want us to think about that thought for a moment. Have I grieved the Holy Spirit this morning? You see, it's not just making the pastor displeased. It's not just making my husband displeased or my parents displeased or my wife displeased. It's I'm displeasing my God. It's time of renewal when I've grieved the Holy Spirit of God. It's a time of renewal when we let bitterness and wrath and malice and anger and clamor and evil speaking into our lives. Do you know there's a lot of believers that have a lot of bitterness in their hearts right now? And you and I will never live for God if we have that bitterness in our hearts. The Bible warns us about letting the roots of bitterness to get in our lives and allow that to get in and affect us. Do you know bitterness has led many people away from God, not to God? And it's destroyed many lives. That bitterness. We've gotten bitter towards God. We've gotten bitter towards fellow man. We've got bitter because of our circumstances. We've gotten bitter. And that has consumed us and gotten a hold of us where it just ripped us apart in our lives. I can't live for God because I'm to have love in my heart. Not bitterness in my heart. We're to forgive. You know what has happened? We need a time of renewal when we're not forgiving anymore. Do you know your spouse, your husband, your wife, your kids, your parents are going to do something wrong against you at one time or another in your life? Did you know that? Do you know Brian's not going to always be a perfect husband? He may never remember when you got married. Rex is coming. There's an illustration for Rex. But we never know. Someone's going to do something to us. Someone's going to hurt us. Someone's going to hurt you even today, probably. Someone's going to say some mean things to you. Someone's going to do something to you. Someone's going to stab you in the back. It's going to happen. But we need a time of renewal and we're not willing to forgive. Do you know there's no sin in our life that God will not forgive? Why do we not forgive one another? Well, you don't understand what that big sin is. You don't understand what Brother Rex did to me. You don't understand how mean he was and all the things that he did and all the things that he said. You know what? I still need to show what? Forgiveness to him. It's a time of renewal. I mean, we could spend the whole message on those areas. That's just the first point. I told you it's going to be long. What if we renewed ourselves in those areas? What a difference it would make. What a difference that would make in your life. What a difference that would make in this church. What a difference that would do if we just renewed ourselves. You see, Psalm 51 says, create in me a clean heart. God, give me a new heart. Now I have a new heart. God, give me a new spirit. Help me have the right spirit. Help me be aligned with you. Help me to think the way you want me to think. Help me to act the way you want me to think. But what is the hindrance to the renewal? So this is the renewal that's needed, is a new heart and the right spirit. But the hindrance to renewal. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit with me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. What is a hindrance? Is we don't want to be in the presence of God. We want to be away from God. You know what the hindrance of renewal is this? Is I don't care where I'm at, and let me live the way I want to live. It's a word we use, apathy. You said, the psalmist is saying, God, keep me in your presence. God, keep me close to you. Draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you, the Bible says. You see, the hindrance to renewal is the opposite of that. Do you know when I know things aren't right in my life? Guess what? I don't want to be close to God. Because if I try to get close to God, what's going to be shining bright is where I fell in my Christian life. You see, the hindrance to renewal is I've grown indifferent towards God, indifferent towards other people, and I say, I don't care. I know I'm not where I need to be, and I'm not going to change. Don't put me in your presence, Lord. I don't want to be close to you because I don't want to see my sin. Now, I want us to think about this last year. What does this mean? What means this? My hindrance is this. I may look back at my life this last year and realize I wasn't as faithful as I should be in certain areas. And you know what I say? Oh, well, I ain't changing this year at all. That's apathy. Well, it's not that big of a deal. You know what? I know I should have been more faithful to church. I know I should have been more faithful in my giving. I know I should have been more faithful in this, in prayer. I know I should have been more faithful in Bible reading. I know I should have been more faithful in this, in witnessing. I know I should have been more faithful, and I know. But guess what? I ain't changing. Because I just don't care. You say, well, preacher, none of us would ever be that way. None of us ever got that way. Do you know we're that way when we go year after year after year and we don't make any changes? Now, some of us will never come out and say those words. But do you know there's people, and I'm not saying in this room, I'm just saying in general believers, and maybe it's in this room, but general believers, do you know there's people that went all last year and never read God's word except when they were in church? And guess what? They did it the year before and the year before and the year before and the year before. Haven't changed. Do you know there's people that have never communicated with God in prayer this last year except when they're in church or some other believers around them and they pray, Lord, thank you for this food. Amen. And that's their prayer life. And they know God wants us to communicate with him regularly, daily. We'd have the attitude of prayer throughout. But you know what? They didn't pray this last year. They didn't pray the year before. And they're not going to start praying this year. Do you know there's believers that have never shared the gospel with anyone? I understand not all of us are as forceful and as bold and all those things. And I understand our personalities are different. But you know, every one of us can witness one way or another. And we should be. And do you know there's people that have never shared the gospel with one person in their whole life? And guess what? They're not going to start to change. That's for someone else. That's for someone with Brother Jamie's personality. That's not for me. He likes to talk to people. I don't like to talk to people. Do you know? There's a time of renewal, but there's hindrances to renewal. It's an apathy. We see it, but we're not going to change it. You know what a big one is? It is giving. It is giving of our time. You know, we say we're busy. Every one of us is busy. But you know who has to have the first and foremost place in our life? Ought to be God. We're to give him the what? Preeminence in our lives. Let's look back this last year. How many gave God first place in your life this last year? None of us, right? Because we can't perfectly. But how many strive to give God first place in your life? That's a better way to ask that. Do you know there's many believers that don't even strive and try? Now, we can't do it ourselves. So we need God's power, God's strength. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But how many of us this last year, they even care that God wasn't first in their life? It's a time of renewal, but we become apathetic and say, it doesn't matter. I'm not giving God my time. It's my time. It's my rights. It's me. Wait a second. You're bought with a price. And there's a purpose for your life as a saved believer, and is not to live your life for yourself. It's to live our life for Christ. It's to give God our time. But also we become apathetic in giving God our talents. Do you know God has given us, and we're going to get into this in 1 Corinthians, God has given us all gifts and abilities. And we're to be using those for God. Do you know, I might not have the same abilities or talents or gifts that you have. And vice versa. You're not as good looking as me, I understand that. But I'm to take what God has given me and use it for him. I'm to take the resources God has given me and use it for him. Not only to give God our time, our talents, but we're to give God our treasures. Now get this. I think we need to get this morning. And for some reason, the Lord has just laid this on my heart lately. But I think we need to get this. Because I believe a lot of believers are struggling. of understanding what it means to give God in regards to our treasures. And if I'm not giving God what God belongs to God, guess what? It's a time of renewal. But you know what most of us say? I don't care. I don't have it to give to God. Now, I understand we all struggle. I understand we all have maybe missed here and there, and we understand all that. It happens, all right? We're human. But what does it mean? It means our desire, our goal, is to give God what is God's. Do you know there's people that have gone a whole year without giving their tithe to the Lord? Oh, preacher, tithe is Old Testament. Okay. It's in the Old Testament, but it's also in the New Testament. But let me just tell you this. Let's just say it's in the Old Testament. Good, because that just gave you an amount of 10%. You know what the New Testament teaches? The New Testament says this. Yeah, that's what the Old Testament said, but it also says you go beyond the 10%. So that's fine. So you know what that means? It means you don't just follow the 10%. It's called grace giving in the New Testament, and it's called offerings above the tithe. It talks about giving way above that. So if you want to say it's not in the New Testament, which it is, let's get into what the New Testament teaches. That means we give beyond that. That's the whole concept. Hey, you compel you to go a mile, go with them twain. You're told to do this, but go beyond that. You see, the whole idea of this giving of our treasures, giving of the money, giving of that, you know what that has to do with? It doesn't have to do with the amount you write on a check. It doesn't have to do with the amount you put in the offering plate. It has to do with your heart. And when my heart's right with God, I'm going to give to God. That's what it is. I met several people throughout the years of ministry. In 23 years of full-time ministry, I've met people that would tell me, I'm right with God, but everything's falling apart in my life. You know what I do? I sit down with them. And I said, how faithful are you in your giving? Oh, I give here and there once in a while. That's not what God requires. Again, I'm not the type of person to understand there's times that we all struggle. There's times we've all missed, if you will. We do. We're human. But what it's talking about is your heart, your desire to give to God what's God's. What you're doing is saying, God, I'm giving it to you. See, it's a time of renewal when we don't care. It's a time of renewal when we say we're apathetic towards those things. You know, it's too much work to really live for God. It's time for renewal when we get to that place that we say it's too much work. It's just easier to coast by. Do you know a lot of us have gotten in that state at some time in our lives? Probably almost every one of us in this room got to that state at one time in our life where we decided to try to coast because it seemed easier. What happens when you coast and you think it's easier? Does it usually work out the best? No, it doesn't. We've all been there. We've all done it. You see, what is coasting? What is this idea there, coasting? I'm just going to do enough to get by. You see, in regards to this giving of your time, talents, and treasures, it doesn't have to do with your mouth. It doesn't have to do with any of those things. And I understand there's times you can't. I understand those things. But it's that desire to do so. But it was coasting. Coasting is, I'm just going to do what I have to do to look the part. You know, that's happened with many believers today. And do you know why? That's why many believers struggle and fall away from the church and fall away from living for God and fall away from doing things God's way, because they're just coasting by and they're just doing enough to look the part, and it has not totally changed their lives, and they don't have the right spirit in them, and they don't care. They don't have the right spirit. That's what it means to renew a right spirit in me. Is my spirit changes. And apathy says, I'm not going to change. But I want you to look a little further. How can we be renewed? You see, there's the need of renewal. We looked at that, the types of renewal. We looked at the reason or hindrances to renewal. But we're going to look at the way of renewal. Look at our text here. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not the Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Psalms 139, verse 23 and 24 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. What is this way of renewal? What is this way of renewal? Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. You know what's renewal comes? Is this. The way of renewal is asking God to restore us. What does it mean to ask God to restore us? The joy of our salvation. It means I repent of the way I'm going and ask God to turn me and get me on the right path. Lord, restore me. Lord, change me. The ray of renewal is first to admit that you're going the wrong direction. I just want to be honest this morning, and we all need to be honest this morning. Do you know there's times in my life when I have not gone in the right direction? I'm going to be honest. I'm a human being just like you. Maybe not like Rick, but most of you. Do you know, as much as I always want to do right, I don't always do right. Ask my wife. Ask my kids. Ask Brother Dick. No, don't ask Dick. Don't ask Rex either. But you know what? That's why we all have to look. We all have to see. We all have to be honest. Because this idea of restoring is realizing and not becoming apathetic towards it, but saying, all right, Lord, you showed me. And that's where David says, search me, O God. You know why he said, search me? God already knew the problems with David. God already knows your problem and my problem. Guess what? He already knows it. He already knows you thought that thought about me, Brian. He already knows that. He already knows what you did yesterday, Dick. He already knows that. So why do we ask God to search us? It's so God can show us, not show him, he already knows, to show us where we have gone against God. That's why David says, David, I want you to show me where I've done wrong. God, it's not that you need to know, but I need to know. I want you to examine me and show me so I can change and be different because of it. Do you know that's what needs to happen in each of our lives this morning? It's not so God knows what we've done. God already knows it. It's for us to know and realize it and see it and make the right decision and the right choices to restore that relationship with God. Because what does any sin do? Sin separates us from God. It does not change our salvation status, if you will, but it changes our walk with God. It's our fellowship with God. And David says, search me, O God, know my heart, know my thoughts, see if there be any wicked way in me. God, show me where I've gone astray so I can get it right with you. I believe that is a prayer that each of us need to pray on a regular basis. God, show me today what I did against you today. Now, do you know there's sometimes we get so caught up in the life, we don't realize the things we've done against God till we sit down and we ask God to look at it. Sometimes we see it, but we just let it go. This idea is, Lord, show me. Why? Because I want to get it right. I don't want to live another year not giving the way I should. I don't want to live another year not living for God and righteous living. I don't want to live another year in bitterness. I don't want to live another year doing this. God, show me, and God, give me the power, and God, give me the strength to get it right and start living for you. God, give me what I need to lead my home as the spiritual leader in the home and get my family back on track serving you and living for you. Lord, give me the power. Give me the strength that I need so my life is right with you and I have no other desire but to live for you day in and day out and surrender to your will and do what you want me to do in my life. Lord, restore it to me. Lord, I thank you that I have a new heart. Thank you I'm saved. But Lord, I've allowed some things to get in my life that is keeping me from living the way I ought to be living. And I know my relationship is not right with you. And because of that, I don't have the joy of my salvation. I don't have that peace anymore in my life. It's a time of renewal. The way of renewal is getting restored, is repenting, is turning back to God. But I don't have that joy anymore. What is that joy? That means I used to be excited about the things of God. Do you know when I'm not right with God, I don't care about the things of God. Do you know that's one reason why people can start missing church very easily? Is because they have sin in their lives and they don't want to be in church. Why? I can't believe how happy that person is. I'm not happy. My life is miserable. And I got to be around that day that talks about praise the Lord. Oh, I mean, oh, I'm blessed. I don't want to hear someone talk about how blessed they are. Look at my life. We don't want to be around that. Why? Because we don't have the joy of our salvation. Because we have had sin in our lives and we become apathetic towards it and we haven't repented and we need to get it right with God so we can too have joy and rejoice together in the house of God, serving God together. Do you know we've gotten to a place that we don't come to this place of restoring? Restoring means make new. It means fix what is broken and give it new life. Now, some of you in this room have restored cars before. I'm going to use two people in this room that restore, well, actually, I'll use three that have restored cars that I know. There's more in this room, but I'm going to use three. I'm going to use Steve Burke, Dick Smith, and my dad. Now, there's different ways of restoration in the car world. Steve Burke, what is the year and make of your red pickup that sits in the garage? It's a 40 wheels. Steve, how often do you drive that vehicle? Once every 3 years. Now, those that have seen his 40s wheels, it's beautiful. I'm telling you, that thing is restored completely. There's not one little thing out of place in anything. It is beautiful. But once every 3 years. We'll just leave that alone. Money well worth it. Dad, what is the year and make of your car? A 54 Chevy pickup. It's in the process of restoration. Most of the body work has been done. Some of the other things have been done and taken care of and cleaned up. It's still not fully there. His plan is to finish that restoration. Brother Dick, not your old one, but the newer one that you started working on. What year is that one? Your rat rod. 34. Now, Brother Dick is done with that restoration. It's nice, but is it fully restored? It still hasn't been done. But he's not planning to do anything with that. That's the way he's going to drive it. That's the way he's going to do it. And I use those three for this purpose. I want you to look at it. What is complete restoration? That means everything is changed. This is the goal we need to get to. Not sitting in the garage for 3 years, but that's the goal we need to get to. Is the complete restoration. Very few people have gotten to that place because that's not going to happen until we get to heaven, complete restoration. But that's what we're be striving for. Most of us should be where Dad is. Some of it's done, and we're continue working on getting it to that place. All right, we're getting it to that place, to where it needs to be. That means God's still working on us. That means we're still making the strides. We're still doing the things. And yes, maybe we need the paint job. Maybe we need the engine rehauled. Maybe we need some things done. But we're getting there. We're doing things. We're moving that direction. Of Steve. But do you know many in our world, sorry, Dick, are like Brother Dick. Now, Dick has his other one that he did restore, and it's beautiful, by the way. But his rat rod, do you know it's not fully restored? And Dick's fine with that. He can park it anywhere. He's not going to do anything with it. If it breaks down, he'll get duct tape and make it work and keep going. But he's not going to do anything with it. His plan's not to change it. His plan's not to paint it. His plan's not to redo it. His plan's not to redo the interior. His plan's not to do anything else with it. It's done. Nothing else with it. Do you know that's many people in this church and many people as believers today? You know, we've all been there where we said, hey, I see my rat rod and I'm not going to change. Our goal ought to be Steve. Oh, his car, not him. But we should be where Brother Jim is, working towards that area. But the truth of the matter, many of us are here and not changing or doing anything different than the way we've been doing it. And we keep going that same way. Year after year after year after year after year after year after year, and we have not changed it. We have not asked God to restore us. We have not asked God to change us. We need to say, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Lord, uphold me, give me the strength so I can live for you. Lord, I want the change, and I need your spirit. I need your power. Uplift me, Lord, and give me what I need to live for you. Do you know? It breaks my heart this morning to see believers today. See this church. See people that used to be here that aren't restored unto the Lord. And they keep living year after year the same way. And they're not changing. You see, the way of a renewed spirit is repenting, is asking for restoration. It's admitting, it's seeing, but asking God for his power to do it. Do you know none of us in this room can restore ourselves? Do you know some of us have tried to restore ourselves? Do you know there's a lot of people today that have tried to restore vehicles that have no business touching the vehicle? They think Bondo is the way to fix everything and duct tape. Do you know I was talking to someone the other day, and I was going to tell you this, Steve. And they were working on someone's car, and they were doing mechanical work on it, but they knocked something, and the side of the car pushed in. And they realized what the person did is they had a big hole in the car from something. They grinded it down, and they took duct tape, and they put over the top of this, and they took Bondo-type material, put over the top, and sanded it down, and guess what? That didn't hold. Do you know what many people have done today? We have no business. You have no business trying to restore your own life. But you know what? We have tried to do it. How do we try to restore our own lives? I'm going to do better. I'm going to stop cussing. I'm going to stop being bitter. I'm going to start living for God. I'm going to do this. No, you're not. You can't do it. You don't have the business to try to do it yourself. You're going to fail. I'm going to fail if I'm trying to do it myself. I'm going to start tithing. No, you're going to fail because you're trying to do it. It says, uplift me with thy spirit. It means this. We go to the one who can restore us and ask him to give us the strength to restore us. Now, this is just for illustration's sake. But out of the three, at this point, this is just illustration's sake. At this point, if I wanted a complete restoration of the engine totally rebuilt, the car totally immaculate, everything done perfectly, who would I go to? Not Dick. All right? I would go to Steve. Why? Because that's a complete restoration, and he has the ability, the power, and the tools to do the complete restoration. That's true. But here's a thought. I want you to think about this. We have one who can completely restore us, who has all the power, has all the ability, has all the tools, has everything we need to see us restored, to see us changed. Why don't we go to him? Why do we keep trying to do it ourselves and keep failing? Why do we look back at 2023 and says, I was a failure? Why do we look back and say, well, I haven't done this? I haven't done that. Why can't we this year say, Lord, I need you. I know I'm not going to be perfect. But Lord, I need your spirit. I need your power. I need your strength. Lord, I need you to give me what I need so I can live for you. And then next year at this time, looking back at 2024, we say, Lord, I wasn't perfect. But Lord, thank you for your strength. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your help. Lord, I can say that I strive to live for you and you gave me victory in my life. And Lord, thank you for giving me the power I needed to do so. You know, last year, many individuals said, hey, I want to change in 2023. Maybe someone in this room, let me ask you, did you change? I hope you did. But many of us would say, no, I didn't. I'm still the same. I tell you today, we're going to give it all to Carl. We're going to tell you to commit and make some decisions and get right with God and do those things. And some people are going to say, yep, we're going to do that. But you know what's going to happen? Next year at this time, we're going to look back and say, well, I remember that message. And I remember me saying I'm going to do it, but why? God wants to give us the victory this morning, folks. He doesn't want you to live the way you're living. He wants to change our lives. He wants us to be victorious. He wants you to live for God in 2024. He wants us to be sold out to him. He wants us to be committed to him. It's time to change. It's time for the renewal in our lives. It's that time. Restore to me the joy of my salvation, Lord. Change me. Restore me.